Hi, I'm Josh, and welcome to the Wild Nature Photography Podcast, the podcast that talks the art and craft of nature photography. It's the 2nd of June 2021, and this is podcast number 2. Now, on this episode, I had planned to talk about megapixels and how many megapixels is actually enough in real-world applications, because there's a lot of misconception and misinformation on megapixels. And it's worth taking the time to talk about how many we really need and what the benefits and trade-offs of more megapixels are. However, I'm going to shelve that for a later episode because today Canon Australia has dropped more information on the new EOS R3 that gives us a closer look at the camera and confirms some of the leaked information that's come out about the camera, as well as gives us more detail on what to expect. So that's going to be the topic of today's podcast. We're going to look at the new development announcement extension that Canon has come out with today and talk about what it means. And we'll compare as well to some of the things I said in the earlier my last podcast, where I talked about what I thought this camera would actually come with. And I guess just before we get into talking about the EOS R3, actually, a little bit of news. So on the 16th of June this month, I'm going to be giving a webinar, courtesy of BenQ, on how to take better photographs of wildlife in winter. And this is going to be a free webinar. And I'm going to talk about some of the tools and techniques I use when I'm out in the field photographing in winter. We'll talk about equipment. I'm going to talk about clothing, what sort of clothing works and why, depending on what sort of photography you might be doing in winter. I'm also going to talk a little bit about where I photograph in winter, as well as we'll dive a little bit into color management and soft proofing as well. Soft proofing is something I've been meaning to talk about in a couple of webinars now, but just haven't had time to get around to. And there'll also be an opportunity for questions and answers in that webinar. So that's going to be on the 16th of June this month. It's going to be at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. It's going to be free. You will need to register for it. The last one we did was sold out. In fact, we had more people than we could accommodate. So if you're keen to come along and listen to that webinar, please get over to my blog. It's blog.jholko, so jholko.com. And you can register for free to secure a place at that webinar. And I'm looking forward to that. I really enjoy the opportunity to talk about winter photography. So that's on the 16th of this month at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time. And hopefully I will see you there. So let's move on now and just talk about the R3 information that Canon has dropped on us today. And again, I think, you know, they will have caught the photography world flat-footed again. I don't think anybody expected to get a dribble of announcements like this, which is what we're actually getting from Canon. They're little teasers of information because they haven't really given us today a lot more in the way of specifications. We still don't know how many megapixels this camera is going to have, but we do have more information in the language Canon uses that gives us a very good indication of what it will and won't have. And I'll talk about that as well. So I think let's get the LCD screen out of the way to start with. So I mentioned in the first podcast I did on this camera that there had been some leaked photographs from a Japanese website showing the rear of the camera and showing that it was going to come with an articulated LCD screen, and that I had concerns about an articulated LCD screen. And there are a number of reasons for those concerns. Now, I'll come to those in a moment, but Canon has confirmed today they're showing us the rear of the camera. It is coming with an articulated LCD screen, and I feel like I'm in two minds about that. I know many, many people really wanted an articulated LCD screen, and I am perhaps in the minority of people who didn't want one. Nevertheless, we are going to get it. That's now confirmed by Canon. I said in my last podcast that, you know, one of the reasons that I'm not a big fan of articulated LCD screens is because the mechanism itself takes quite a bit of real estate in the camera, and we could have had a larger LCD screen if it wasn't for that mechanism. Now, the second reason I'm not so keen on these LCD screens that are articulated is because they can break. And when you're out photographing in the field in difficult, inclement conditions, particularly in the cold or extreme cold when plastics and metals become very brittle, it's very easy to break something like this. So Canon have said in the language they're wrapping around both the initial development announcement and around the further announcement today that this camera is most definitely going to have the same build quality as the 1D series of cameras. So That may mean, well, that should mean, in fact, that the articulated LCD screen on this camera is going to be much more robust than anything we've seen from Canon before. And that's my hope. My hope is that, you know, if we have to have the screen, then let's make it as solid as we possibly can so that it can withstand the knocks and tumbles and things that it's going to get out there in the field. Because, you know, sports and wildlife photographers, we're not known for looking after our tools, you know, perhaps to as well as a studio photographer might. You know, our tools get used outside in the rain, in the snow. I know I leave my cameras lying around on the ground a lot when I'm out photographing, and, you know, they often get kicked, knocked and bumped. So, you know, I've still got some concerns around the how robust this articulated LCD screen is going to be. But given that Canon are telling us that this camera is going to be the same as a 1D series, that gives me a little bit of hope. That, you know, it should be quite strong. We'll have to see how it goes. Now, I know, of course, as I said in my last podcast, you can, of course, just not take the screen out, and that's true. And that's probably what I'll end up doing most of the time. A few other things that came out today, in the language that Canon are using. I guess the first one that we should talk about is that Canon has not told us, how many megapixels this camera is going to have. It wasn't in the initial development announcement. It's not in the extra information that has dropped today. But what they do tell us is that this camera is going to shoot oversampled 4K video. So what we know from that statement is that the sensor is going to be a minimum of 8 megapixels. Well, I think we all knew it was going to be at least 8 megapixels. Realistically, it's going to be at least 20. So we know it's going to be that because they're saying in the language that they use oversampled 4K. What we don't know for sure yet is what the upper end of the megapixels of this camera is going to be. But I suspect, given that we are being told 4K and not 5, 6 or 8K, that this will fit squarely in the 20 to 30 megapixel bracket that I talked about in my previous podcast. There's nothing in the language Canon are telling us in relation to the oversampled 4K or raw recording capabilities that makes me think this is going to have any more than 30 megapixels in the camera. It is going to come with Canon Log 3, which will give, you know, better dynamic range and color grading opportunities. And that will be very important for people who shoot video. You know, I said in my last podcast that this is not a dedicated video camera, and it really isn't. This is going to be a video-enabled stills camera, you know, capable of shooting, you know, high-quality 4K content. And that's probably all sports and wildlife photographers are ever going to need. So I think that's absolutely just fine. Canon reiterate that we're getting the brand-new back-illuminated stacked CMOS sensor. We know that's coming. We know it's coming with DigiX or Digic 10 as the image processor. Canon has only said in the language that it's coming with one processor, not two, like we find in a 1DX Mark III. So I think that's quite interesting. What that means in the field remains to be seen. But there are a couple of other things that Canon wrap around this that you sort of have to dig into the language to find. The first one is, I guess, fairly important, is that flash sync is now possible with the electronic shutter when you're using speed lights. So that's going to be important for people who do shoot with flash. They'll be very, very pleased to see that. I think for most wildlife photographers, you know, that's not a big deal, and it's certainly not a deal breaker, but it's nice to know that it's there for those people who want to use it. Canon go on to say that the autofocus tracking of people, animals, including birds, and motorsports, racing motorbikes and racing cars is all going to be included in this camera. Now, I suspect what's going to happen is what we're going to get in the R3 is going to be an improved version of the autofocus algorithms for animal eye AF that we see in the R5. And that when the R3 is announced formally and drops, we may well get a firmware update for the 1DX Mark III that incorporates that same those same autofocus algorithms. Because at the moment, there is no iFocus in the 1DX Mark III for animals. So that would be something that would be nice to have. I think we may well get that. We'll just have to wait and see whether Canon gives us that firmware update or not. My feeling is that they will. It's just a matter of getting the R3 out, I think, first. We're also going to get 8 stops of Canon is calling it 8 stops of protection against camera shake. Now, that, I believe, will be a combination of the camera's inbuilt IBIS technology and image stabilization in the lens. So the two will work together in tandem to give up to 8 stops of protection against camera shake. That's going to be pretty fantastic. You know, the ability to shoot handheld wildlife at very, very slow shutter speeds and low light, fantastic to have that capability. The other thing that Canon say in the language is that the camera is going to be capable, and this is pretty incredible, of focusing in darkness levels as low as -7 EV or even lower, which is basically pitch black. So I would expect that focus with this R3 is simply not going to be a problem in low light situations. And I'm really looking forward to testing this in the field, particularly with some of the wildlife we have here in Australia that comes out at dusk or just after dusk when things are quite dark. I'll be really keen to see how that goes, especially the eye tracking for some of our nocturnal animals here. It will be very interesting to test that and see how it performs in the field. I don't recall Canon ever announcing a camera that's going to have -7 EV or lower, they say. So we'll just have to wait and see how that goes. I'm excited about it, though. Overall, you know, my thoughts on this camera haven't really changed much from my last podcast. I'm still, you know, I'm really kind of torn on the articulated LCD screen. That isn't great for me. I really would have preferred a fixed screen, but I guess I can live with an articulated screen if I'm getting everything else I want in this camera. Now, my only other point of concern today is that Canon is saying that this camera is going to come with a Type B CF Express card. That's a good thing. But they're saying it's also going to come with an SD card. Now, that is not a good thing as far as I'm concerned. I really want to be able to shoot to two cards simultaneously like I do in the 1DX Mark III, and I really don't want to have one card that's running much slower than the Type B CF Express. I have had cards fail in the past, one time personally, but I have seen workshop participants' cards fail and lose photographs. So I do like to write to two cards at the same time. And I think, having two different types of cards is not ideal. Canon's own language, they say dual card slots allow image files to be written to SD or CF Express memory cards. Now, I hope what that means is that the camera will take two of either. And you can choose to either use two CF Express or two SDs or a combination thereof. That would be fantastic. However, if we're getting one SD and one CF Express, I think that's a very bad thing. And that is not good for photographers who shoot a lot of images in the field, like sports and wildlife photographers. Again, I hope we'll be able to choose there and that we can have dual CF Express. Or if you do want SD, that it's there as an option. Another piece of information that's dropped today, Canon have said that the R3 will be using the exact same battery as the EOS 1DX Mark III. This is fantastic news. Not to have a second charger if we're shooting with a 1DX Mark III and an R3, as I probably will be initially, is fantastic. Being able to interchange batteries between the cameras is fantastic. I'm really pleased to see this. The 1DX Mark III battery has been incredible in the field, in extreme cold. As I said, I've had a full day shooting at -40 degrees, having shot thousands and thousands of images on the camera, and still had battery charge left at the end of the day. That is phenomenal performance. And to see this in the R3 coming with the same battery, I'm very, very pleased. Now, of course, the R3 will eat more battery just because of the EVF. How much more battery remains to be seen, but, you know, using the 1DX Mark III battery is a great start. I'm very pleased by that. So look, overall, I'm extremely pleased by what I've seen today, particularly in the language that Canon is using again to wrap around how they describe this camera. They go to a lot of effort to say that this is built for professionals. It's built to withstand the rigors of day-to-day use. It's going to have a tough magnesium alloy body featuring dust and weather resistance to the same level as Canon's 1DX series, ensuring it can cope in, you know, the toughest environments. That's fantastic. The 1DX Mark III battery, fantastic. They're saying the camera will have a choice of controls with both multi-controller and smart controller. That's nice too. It's always good to have options when you're setting up a camera because it becomes a very personal thing. And I will do another podcast later at a later date talking about the importance of controls on the camera, because it's not just enough that you can set them up how you want them. They need to be intuitive, and they need to be set out in such a way that muscle memories can be used for these controls, so that you can free yourself up to be creative in the field and not have to worry about being a technician. But that's I'll talk about that in another podcast. I think a couple of other things that are worth noting here. I've called it an articulated LCD screen. Canon actually called it, in their language, a vari angle screen. You know, I think this is a matter of semantics. The image of the back of the camera looks to me, for all intents and purposes, that this is a fully articulated LCD screen. I don't believe this is just a screen that can be angled. I might be wrong, but, you know, looking at the image, it looks to me like this is not only a fold-out, but it's a fold-out and rotate-type LCD screen. So I think that's just a matter of semantics in the language, although, you know, we'll see as we get more information to hand on this camera. The other thing to say is, you know, I touched on this in my last podcast, but it's worth talking about again here, I think. It's very important to reiterate how important high ISO performance is to sports and wildlife photographers. Now, I'm a professional wildlife photographer, and if I use myself as an example, most of my best wildlife images are made in low light. So they're made at the beginning or end of the day when the light is soft and when the animals are most active usually. So typically when we're working in these environments in low light, it's always a battle as a wildlife photographer between having enough shutter speed to freeze the action and not going too high in the ISO so that you don't have a really, really noisy image. You need to find a nice balance between the two. So high ISO performance, and the same applies to sports photographers, is extremely important. Now, as you increase the megapixel count in a camera, you increase the noise. So that balancing act is extremely important. And I know many wildlife photographers, both professional, semi-professional, would happily trade a few megapixels for better high ISO performance. So that's a bit more of my thinking behind why I'm saying this camera is most likely going to have between 20 and 30 megapixels. I just can't see it having any more than that. It doesn't make any sense for the application we're being told by Canon that this camera is to be used for. Now, a few other things just before we sort of wrap this up. Most of the language Canon uses when it's talking about autofocus in this new announcement today is in relation to motorsport and racing cars and motorbikes. Now, this is obviously heavily geared towards sports. But what they're saying is that these sports in particular are an area that they've done a lot of development work, and that object tracking is going to be taken to another level with this camera. So I think sports photographers who are shooting motorsport will be very, very happy to see this in this camera, and very keen to get one out in the field. How this all translates into photographing wildlife remains to be seen, but I am very pleased to see that Canon specifically say animal eye control, animal eye tracking, even with birds. So that's something to really, really look forward to. So I think that's about it for now. I just wanted to get this podcast done. I wanted to get it out there that this information has dropped today, because this was unexpected. And, you know, again, Canon kind of caught the world off flat-footed with this, and this drop of information today. And I think it's likely now that we've seen this, more information will start to drop from Canon on this camera. It would not surprise me, as we're running up to the Olympics now in not that many weeks' time, that we're released a little bit more information, perhaps on an almost weekly basis. I do think we'll be getting very close now to seeing what the final megapixel count of this camera is going to be. And I still believe that we will see the full announcement of this camera before the Olympics this year, and that availability will be fourth quarter this year, 2021. I still do have two of these on order. I'm going to leave those two on order for the time being until I see the full development announcement. I think it highly likely at this point in time that I'll be buying at least one, if not two, of these cameras. They will not be replacing my 1DX Mark IIIs, as I said in my last podcast. I'm going to run these as a test for quite some time and just see how they perform. I want to test them with my EF 400 and 600 millimeter lenses. I want to see what they offer me over and above the 1DX Mark III. I want to see if Canon give me a firmware update for the 1DX Mark III free to incorporate the AF tracking of animals, eyes, and birds. And so there's a few question marks over all this, but I'm still really, really excited about it. I think the way Canon's delivering the information to us is fantastic. I think if you take the time to read the language and you understand the needs of sports and wildlife photographers, that it's pretty clear that, you know, how this camera is going to finally land and what it's going to land with in terms of its specifications. So that's it for today. Just getting out this this podcast on this, the new information that's dropped today. My next podcast, I'll try and get to that topic of megapixels. I think it's an interesting one to talk about. It's one of the areas I see most misinformation on the internet, particularly in the forums. And we need to kind of set some of that right, or at least put it in the context of what wildlife and sports photographers are looking for and why megapixels are not the most important thing to us. So that's it for today, 2nd of June, 2021. I'm Josh. This has been the Wild Nature Photography Podcast, and I look forward to seeing you out there in the field.